Two insecure critics must fight for their right to validate their existence.
In this corner, we have a dinosaur. For some reason.
In this corner, we have a voodoo priestess that chose Pokemon Go over voodoo, sometimes called Eevee.
It's time to pick sides. This is Haunted MTL's Throwdown, with contributors Eevee and J.M. Brannick.
I do love destroying you.
You haven't got the guts.
I'm going to set this down. I'm in a fort. I made a
pillow fort.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. All right, welcome people, creeps, and she-beasts to another episode of The Throwdown. In this podcast, two critics are pitted against each other in a dueling battle of pros, cons, strawmen, and mudslinging arguments to reign as champion and hold it over each other ever triumphant. To hold it over the other ever triumphant. See, this is like the migraine kicking in. Anyway, I am your host with all of the brains. They're kind of scrambled. But some of the brawn, J.M. Brannick, a.k.a. Box Human, along with...
Hi.
Current champion.
Yeah, current champion!
I'm sorry.
Voodoo priestess.
Hi.
Yeah, so last time we had a cursed episode, and so somehow Voodoo Priestess, a.k.a. Eevee, a.k.a. Evangelion Yolun, won the title. So now it's got goo all over it, and I'll have to sanitize it again when I regain the title. So that's fine. I guess I have some hand soap I can use.
That's what you think. They're all sold out.
That's what you think. I always wash my hands like crazy, so I have shit tons of soap. Anyway, so this week's was Vood's pick. So do you want to tell us a little bit about what we watched?
Yeah, let's see. I chose Boogeyman. It is about the Boogeyman. And a guy from Seventh Heaven stares at doors while Bones makes dinner sometimes once.
And she falls off a horse.
And she falls off a horse. It was a very weird, anticlimactic horse.
Yeah. So the movie is about a kid at first. And the kid is going through some troubling times. He's scared of everything in his room. I don't know why he has so many things that he is afraid of, but he is afraid of all of them. So he, you know, he's afraid of a bird thing. He's afraid of what else? A robe.
Sculpture.
An action figure.
I don't know thing. If it's an action figure, just because at the end he like slammed it against the thing and it like broke like it was ceramic.
So who gives their kid a ceramic thingy? Like, it's not, well, we'll get into that later. Anyway, yeah. There's all these spooky things, and he turns off the lights. Oh, spooky things happen. He turns them back on. Spooky things stop happening. This continues on, except for when the light breaks, and then, spooky things, and then suddenly, bump, his dad is there suddenly, and his dad's like, what are you doing? Cut it out. Quit being scared by everything in your room. After that, the dad goes around and looks around and is dragged into the closet and eaten by the boogeyman, we assume, because he's gone. He's gonzo. And then 15 years later, I think it was 15. And he the little kid is now the guy from Seventh Heaven, that dreamboat.
And, not that one, the other one.
Oh, I never watched it.
I never did either, but I'm just assuming it's the other one.
Okay, well, whichever one it was not the girl, it was the guy from Seventh Heaven. And he is, I don't know, he's got a girlfriend, she's a bitch.
She really is.
She really is awful.
Like, they have a dinner, and she uses his family history to like make the family uncomfortable, her family uncomfortable, and he's just sitting there like
she's just using him as an excuse to poor exploitation him, I guess, for her rich family.
Yeah, he's her beard.
We'll get to that later.
I probably did that wrong, but yeah. Which, by the way, I am pro this movie, and Boxy is con.
You should. Yes. This was an awful movie. I hated it. Hated it so much that I bought it. Awful. Terrible. So I can keep hating on it forever and ever.
Yeah.
And I actually got really bad reviews. Surprising.
I know. I saw that.
Yeah, really bad. It was panned by critics. So after he meets his horrible girlfriend's horrible family, he gets this psychic dream sequence of his mom yelling at him and stuff. And then he's like, oh, I gotta go. And she's like,
he doesn't even like explain anything to the girlfriend. He's like, I gotta go. Sorry, I said I'd spend the weekend. I gotta go. Bye. Bye. He's so happy to ditch her.
Well, and she's like, he's like in a cold sweat, nearly about to, I don't know, throw up. And she's like, but you said you'd spend the weekend. And it's like, she does not understand what he's feeling ever. Because there's a lot of moments like this where it looks like he's about to fucking lose it. And she's just like, but.
God, you're so annoying.
Why are you doing that? Why aren't you paying attention to me? And then there's actually one point that he apologizes to her for doing that. And I was like, ugh, jeez Louise. So anyway, he finds out that his mom died. So he has to go back to his childhood home, the place where it all began. And he meets Lucy Lawless for a scene. And then she's gone. And that was sad. I wanted her to come back.
Yeah, I was actually, I heard Lucy Lawless was in this movie, and I was like, wait, what, she wasn't in this movie, and I watched it again, and it's just like, oh.
Yeah, it's real quick, and it's funny, because it was like, kind of not during when she was, it was like a little bit after she was famous, but before her second, like, oomph of, like, all the stuff that she did, because she's a phenomenal actor, but it was before we knew. Like, we just knew her as Xena, so it was before we knew, like, oh, she's really good, like, in Spartacus and in Battlestar Galactica and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, so he goes, and she used to be his therapist. She's like, spend one night in the house, which I think is a really bad idea as a, you know, professional telling him to spend the night in a place that horribly traumatized him and he does not want to go to. And she's like, just spend a night in the house. You'll be fine.
Yeah, spend it all alone right after your mother died, another horrible, tragic event in your life.
Right.
That's going to coincide with the horrible, tragic event of your father leaving.
Yep. Good luck. And while he's there, he sees a little girl. And the little girl, let me just wrestle my papers and notes a little bit more so I can sound even more like an asshole.
She is not Dakota Fanning.
Oh, yeah, the little girl is not Dakota Fanning. We don't know who she is. Yeah. But she's just, like, freaking out, and nobody sees anything, but he kind of sees something maybe, and they sedate her immediately. And I'm like, wow, okay. Well, that's what they, I guess they do. So anyway, so he goes to the funeral, and at the funeral is Bones, or pre-Bones. This is
Emily Deschanel. Deschanel?
Deschanel. Okay. Yes. The better Deschanel, if you will. Shots fired, not caring. Yes, and she's a old childhood friend. She has obviously some romantic interest in him, and he's not really interested in her. So, but he's very friendly to her. They're old friends. She's nice to him. He sees her again after she rides her horse into his yard and then falls off of it.
And she has a concussion, and they're just like waving it off like you do.
Oh yeah, major concussion. And she's like, lulz. See, unlike in our previous video where there was concussions, there were no doctors in this movie to say, you're fine.
So there was a horse.
Just a horse, and I rode away. So then we get to the house, and he's in the house, and the house is doing spooky things, and he doesn't like the spooky things. So he decides to leave with his girlfriend, and they go into a hotel, and uh-oh, more spooky things. And she's gone. The girlfriend has disappeared. He goes to run into a... Oh, and that's the whole thing. I forgot to preface this. He is deathly afraid of closets. Let that sink in. Just let that seep into your soul. Deathly afraid of closets. Of maybe even door handles, because there's a lot of close-ups of door handles and reaction shots of him. Just pure terror. So in this hotel room, his girlfriend is missing. And so he decides to go into the closet to find her. Faces fears. And he somehow magically is transported to the house where the better Deschanel is. And so they go, and he very, very creepily is trying to tell her what's going on. But he's like, I don't think she's hurt. I don't know what happened, you know. And they get there, and there's like blood on the floor, and she's freaking out because she's like, I don't know what's going on with you. I think you need help. I can't help you. You need to figure this out. And more boogeyman shenanigans. And then we get to see little girl with backpack.
Who's also not Dakota Fanning.
Which
I don't know why I thought Dakota Fanning was in this movie.
Because Dakota Fanning was in every goddamn movie at this time. She was like in every movie around this era. So you just kind of assume she's going to be in the movie. And then when she's not, you're like, oh, huh. Interesting. We see Ghost Girl. We get to find out about her. She leaves her backpack. In her backpack is all these hundreds and hundreds of flyers of missing children. And he decides to follow her at one point, and she leads him to a house. And in the house, there's all this writing on the wall of, you know, cuckoo crazy writing. And it was her dad, and her dad was trying to get the boogeyman, and he built a chair to strap himself in so the boogeyman would come and get him, and etc.
He died like a bitch.
Yeah, you know, and that's another thing. Everybody dies like a bitch in this. I will agree with, you know, we've always been at ends about bitchness and about people dying like a bitch. In this movie, they do. Unfortunately, it's PG-13, so there is, like, no blood. Nada. It's all spooks, and we will get to spooks in a little bit. So he figures out that little girl is dun-dun-dun. Oh, no, one of these missing children. She is a ghost.
Spooky. They're still besties.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, that sucks. But maybe you can survive. And there's a whole bunch of other ghost children that come around him and touch him. That was gross.
That actually happened a lot earlier on when he was freaking out before that.
Yeah, I just kind of lump all children together and these kind of things. But yeah, they come around and they touch him. But yeah, so they're still BFFs. And she's like, dude, it's too late for me, man. It's time to save yourself. You got to face him. And so he's like, you're right. And so he goes to the place where it all began, which was his bedroom. We also see in an earlier scene with the children touching that his father shut him into one, like a closet earlier on in his life, and was like, you gotta learn how to be a man, kind of a deal by staying in the closet.
And counting
to five, because that's what his father did with him. Yep. And that is how you raise children. So he's like, okay, I'm gonna confront him. So he goes, and there's a little montage of him getting a chair and sitting in the chair, and then the door opening and him getting out of the chair. I was like, okay, what was that chair for? Nothing.
Well, they did, I don't think they actually, Did they show him screwing the chair in place? Like, yes, he actually screwed it down.
He did screw it down. Yeah. And then he just got out of it. And he just walked out of it and walked into the closet. Then Boogeyman comes and then he's all like, I'm not afraid.
But he is the better Deschanel there?
The better Deschanel is there because he saved her from the Boogeyman. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? And he's like, you can't say that. It's a PG-13. And she's like, I can say it once in a PG-13 and that's okay. And then he's like, I'm not going to argue with you. And you've also find out that the blood in the bathroom came from him because it's a weird time loop kind of thing too. So that was his blood when he hit his head. Also concussions again. Anyway, he's like, I'm not afraid. He counts to five and then he opens his eyes at six to face his fears. And Boogeyman's like, oh, I don't like that. And then he kind of fucks up shit in his room. And then Boogeyman gets fucked up. And then Boogeyman's gone. And it's morning.
And they live happily ever after without any question about the missing people or, the dead people.
But in the end credits, dun dun dun, Boogeyman is still out there. He's just not. He's done dealing with Seventh Heaven guy. He's like, I'm fine, fuck it. I don't care.
Power of Christ compels you.
The power of Seventh Heaven compels you. And that's the movie. So, do you want to get to points and counterpoints?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, you want to start or do you want me to start?
Let's let you start.
Okay. All right, I'm going to start. I'm going to say my thing. And then you can do your counterpoint. Okay?
Yeah, let's do this.
Okay.
What's All your right. biggest con?
Okay. Well, this isn't my biggest con. This is my lowest con.
Okay.
This is number five, my lowest con. Okay, lowest con. It's a gay allegory. ... using tired cliche expressions of closets. So, folks, I'm going to make this joke to poke fun of movies of the early 2000s and 90s in that order, or maybe not in that order, and how uncomfortable and cringy they were with sexuality, especially gay male sexuality. They were dumb and offensive. So while I'm leaning towards kind of serious with this point and my gay allegory claims, this entire joke is intended at the expense of the lame and dated stereotypes towards the LGBTQI friends, especially the gay men. So here's my point. I think we can all agree that this is a gay allegory about a young man whose dad left him because the quote-unquote boogeyman got him. And by that, we know that the dad skipped town with his boyfriend to start a new life without his wife and kid. And now the young man has grown up and has been fighting this memory and repression for so long that he too is gay and is afraid that him being gay will destroy his family and life and everything like that, just like his dad did before that. So he represses and he has a bitchy, quote unquote, beard girlfriend until the death of his mom. And then all of these memories of his dad force him to face the thing that he fears the most, which is his own self and identity. We can all agree on that, right? But the way they show it in this movie is so on the nose and dated. I mean, at the time, closet jokes were in full swing, but there's no subtlety to this movie, especially in the scene where he like gingerly ventures into the closet and everything is fine. Until he finds a phallic object and immediately puts it in his mouth, and that's when all hell breaks loose. So the same with the fact that he can't even explain to the ghost girl that he's looking for his girlfriend. He just mentions her as a friend, quote unquote, because he knows that the girl, ghost girl, is also LGBTQ and can see right through his bullshit. So
he has no chemistry with anyone else.
So it's exhausting how on the nose this is. I wouldn't be surprised that if his job was like secretly exporting candies and baked goods for an illegal company called Butte, like B-U-T-T-E, so they can make a good old-fashioned fudge packer butt pirate joke. Bam. Muscle through that for my real feelings.
I kind of just thought he worked at a fashion magazine.
He did. Oh, wait, did he? Wait, oh, no, he didn't. He worked for some kind of magazine or something. Okay, so that was my silly little point.
Okay, counterpoint. Yes. Closets are a room in the house.
What?
Yes. You guys might not know this. You might be a little too old or young or whatever the saying goes. And closets are a room in the house. And you go in them. And eventually everything tries to kill you. Like, you stack stuff too high and it just collapses on you. And eventually, after hours and hours of screaming, your mom will come home from work and spend another few hours digging you out. And once that happens, you just have to marry your mother.
That's a leap. That's a leap.
Is it though? The guy said that the girlfriend said his mother was a bitch.
I'm just saying, he found that recorder and it had been in there for years. And he was like, oh, let me stick this in my mouth. Just like a baby would. Yeah. I don't know who won that point. I don't think anybody did.
We all lose.
I think we all lose, especially any listeners. Sorry. All right. Do you want to do, okay. All right. Do you want to do, I forgot how we do this. God damn it.
Do I do my going? Next point?
Okay. Do your next point.
Yes. So my point was for a pro was the interpretation of a boogeyman. And even though, like, you are saying how you don't understand why the boogeyman is a bunch of creepy things in this child's room, I think that it's just how the mundane and all these things in the dark of the night, it just takes on a different sort of tone and description. And it just all turns sinister and depressing and wrong. And that turning on a light makes everything look the way it's supposed to. I like how the boogeyman was actually created from the imagination of the mundane all around him. And how it's probably created that way for everyone. And because, do you know what a tulpa is?
No, go ahead and explain.
Yes, so tulpas are creatures of imagination. Basically, as long as you believe in it, you give it form, you give it life, and it can't be stopped until you stop the belief, like you take away its power. You know, the Nightmare on Elm Street ending, basically. And so I like how the boogeyman, which is like spans throughout all cultures in all these different ways, is basically that a creation of the darkness of things in the dark.
If the interpretation is that the boogeyman is the mundane that children fear, they should have established this with the baby ghost. Like, she says something like, oh, I've seen the boogeyman. Yeah, he's got a 1-inch wiener and that looks like a glue gun and with the face of a windmill cookie. And he'd be like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? And then that would be the payoff when he realizes it was his own dumb fuckery that made the boogeyman. And then he could be like, oh. That would be setup and payoff.
There is something of that there, like by him destroying the little things in his room. And also when Zooey Deschanel is dragged under her bed because she wasn't afraid of the things in the closet. She was afraid of the monster under her bed. And even though it was probably not expanded upon as much as it should have been, that's just the entire sense I got from it.
Shut up. I don't need subtlety. I need everything force-fed to me as an audience member. How am I supposed to understand things if people just don't exposition dump all the time?
Damn it. You're that person who made that comment on IMDb.
I need the director to force-feed me information. Dumb. One star.
This is dumb.
All right. Well, I'm going to move on to my number four, which is that the main character has no character except for his fears. He has no really motivation except for being afraid of everything. He has no hobbies except for being afraid of everything. And maybe also, I don't know, playing the
recorder. Photography.
Playing the recorder.
Well, I was going to say photography because his job, but okay.
Well, that comes up in one scene. One scene. And that's it.
No, he also has those pictures that, for some reason, he says are silly when it's just, like, two kids standing next to each other.
He didn't take them.
How do you know?
Because he's freaking in them. It's not a selfie.
Wow, judgy.
Yeah, it is, because that technology didn't exist at that time. Anywho, the only thing we really know about him are the things that he's afraid of, why he's afraid of them, and the things he's tried to do to stop being afraid of them. And he might be psychic. That's the only other thing we know. That's it. Your turn. Counterpoint.
Yeah, counterpoint. So we know he has a bitchy girlfriend. And I say she just destroyed him, ruined his personality, his soul, and he's dead inside. And it's not that he has no personality. It's just that she hollowed him out, so there's nothing left.
No. He was hollow before she even got to him. That's what attracted her to him. She was like, this is easy prey. Love it. No. All right. What's your point?
Yeah, I guess we'll just go to Eric Kripke wrote the screenplay. He co-wrote the screenplay.
Yeah, tell people that is. Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to until you interrupted me.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I love doing that.
So, Eric Kripke, he wrote the good seasons of Supernatural. It's seasons 1 through 5 for those of you who got in later. It was 1 through 5. Anywho, and the reason I what he write?
He wrote The Boys on Netflix. I mean, not Netflix, Prime. The Boys. Superhero. Ugh. Anyway, okay, continue.
Okay.
It's a good show.
Yeah. He wrote The Boys. So one of the things is, besides the fact that I like Eric Kripke's aesthetics and the way that he actually does good progression in a piece. In the TV series, it was something that just slowly built up into this monotonous.
Uh-oh. Freudian slip.
Momentous.
Uh-oh. Momentous. Point for me.
Damn it. This momentous thing. The season of The Supernatural did get monotonous, but that was after, okay? That was after he left.
Yep, keep digging.
But anyway, it's just nice to see this, like, the growing technical skills and aesthetics that he had, because this is one of the, I think this is something he did before then, but there's a lot of things in there that are kind of my other points that I think kind of strengthen the piece. And yeah.
All right. Well, my counterpoint is that get done. My counterpoint is that he graduated high school in Sylvania, Ohio, and I'm jealous, and he sucks, and he probably doesn't even care about trilobites, and so therefore he's a loser, and I hate him. Done. Slam dunk. Slammed dunk.
Oh, did the camera not hear me breaking this? Breaking the pencils?
No, it didn't.
Damn it. Okay.
Nope.
I did it right in front of the microphone too, damn it.
Yeah, no, that's, I think, an in-person thing. That's a definite in-person thing, because you gotta make eye contact when you do it too, like hard long eye contact. And I really don't want to do that with you. All right, so I'm gonna go to my number three, and that is, no matter how many close-up zooms, doorknobs, dress shirts, and hangers are not scary. They're just not scary. They're just not scary. No matter how many times you zoom and look at his reaction of, huh? they're just not scary.
My counterpoint is going to be your number one point, which we'll get to later, so I should fill it up with a little bit more. I won't say that they're trying to make the doorknobs, the dress shirts, and the hangers scary as much as they were trying to do things that kept him in anxiety. Like, basically, these are all staples of a closet, like dress shirts. And especially since he hasn't been in that house since the 70s or 80s or however old he is.
This whole movie looks like it is still stuck in the 60s. How everybody dresses and acts, it looks like they're stuck in the 60s.
Yeah.
So why didn't the recorder then freak him out? Why was that a joy to him?
I'm sorry. Are recorders something you throw in the closet? Wow.
Apparently so, because that's where he found it. And then he just stuck it.
Well, what if it was under someone's bed and it just fell in the closet?
That doesn't happen. You can't
it
just
was a magic...
And-
It's a magic closet, okay? Narnia.
But again, if he's gonna be afraid of things that are closet related, I mean, you put your shit in the closet, like whatever you're like, I don't want to look at this anymore. I'm just gonna put this in the closet. And that's what he found, and he was like, oh, how delightful.
Yes, well, that's because it wasn't a doorknob, dress shirt, or hanger.
Oh, okay. Fine. I'm rolling my eyes so hard.
They're not really.
Yeah. Okay, what is your number three?
The camera work. And that is, a lot of the camera work does great to show... Like, to put us in the mindset of our main character, his anxiety, when he's losing a grip on reality, when he's just confused and slowly coming to terms with things. The camera work does a lot of that, because whether it's the close-up zooms or the kind of shots to white a bit, like, sometimes they can overdo it a little bit, but... Most of the time, the camera work is actually something that you can see and recognize what it's doing. It's not just the guy stopping to talk to the better Deschanel to say, oh, hey, I'm frightened. Like, because when you think of that, he never actually does too much exposition in the way of his emotions and what he's feeling. And if you watch a lot of movies, that gets really fucking annoying.
No, you're just a sociopath. You're like, oh, people's fear and anguish, groan, barf.
It's not my fault they all fall into this ginormous soliloquy.
Sometimes you need a ginormous soliloquy just to air it all out.
That's your counterpoint?
No, that's not my counterpoint. My counterpoint is this. Yeah, it's great camera work if you like multiple zoom-ins and reaction shots to doorknobs.
I happen to love doorknobs. Pretty sure that one closet had a doorknob that was, like, wood.
Do not play any kind of drinking game with this movie about, reaction shots to doorknobs, doorknobs in themselves, doorknobs moving, doors opening. Don't. Or zoom-ins. You will die. You will die from alcohol poisoning. It's not worth it, you guys. It's just not worth it. But there was that really clever scene where he spilled out of the closet and it kind of like zoomed around.
There you go.
See, but panic. That was like confusion. One scene that wasn't a zoom into a doorknob. Because no matter how times you do it, it's not scary. All right. Let's see. So my number two... is that there is too much going on. There's too much going on in this movie. We have a boogeyman. Okay, that's great. That's in the title. Good. We have ghosts, many ghosts, ghost children, a ghost friend. And we have psychic visions creep up ever so often. He has psychic visions. Time travel. magic, childhood disappearances. I mean, there's just so much crammed in here. There's the story with the dad and the story with the other dad and the story with his friend and the story with meeting his girlfriend's, just a lot. Too much. Cut it out. Just make it about a boogeyman and that'd be it.
Okay. Counterpoint.
Yep.
First, obviously to the time travel, wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff. Moving on to the psychic visions.
Wait, what does that even mean? What does that even mean? Wiggly wobbly timey stuff. That's not a counterpoint. That's just me saying words. It's like me saying like apple banana parrot toast. It doesn't mean
anything. You lost once you said that and you don't even realize why.
Okay. Okay, explain it to me. Okay.
Okay. So wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff. Now moving on to psychic visions. Every movie has the psychic visions, and everyone has random psychic person, like Jeepers Creepers, or that one person from that Dario Argento movie, Deep Red, I think. I don't know. All his movies are the same.
Rangu.
And Rangu.
Yeah, they had a psychic. Suddenly they were psychic.
Oh, yeah, it's Sadako versus Kayako, all that. So randomly having psychics in your movie is a staple. It is a staple.
Or some would say a trope.
No.
Staple.
No, yes. Like surgery. Ghosts.
I don't think that's what that means.
Well, child disappearances and boogeymen, those kind of just go together, so I don't think that should really count, just because the boogeyman is said to spirit away the bad children, you know? They just like, oh, look at you, you're an asshole, and I'm going to eat you, yum, 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 which will obviously lead to ghosts. And why do you want ghosts? Most people can't see ghosts, so you have to have random psychic person in your timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly, blah, blah, blah. And that's my counterpoint.
I still don't get wibbly-wobbly. Is the boogeyman wibbly-wobbly, or is the guy wibbly-wobbly? Or is the house wibbly-wobbly? Who's the wibbly-wobbly?
The closet, you weirdo, the doorknobs, the dress shirts, the hangers. Do you not listen to yourself?
Okay, so the closet is the wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey piece.
Yes.
But why? So then that means that he could possibly get his dad back.
Probably, but let's be real. He didn't like him that much. He shoved him in a closet and told him to count to five.
I mean, I'm not saying that he should. I'm just saying that he could.
By that logic, he could get his girlfriend back. He could get his uncle back. Do you really want that in his life?
Well, probably not. But I'm just saying he could. Well, he might be able to get the girl's dad back. Or her back. It opens up a huge can of worms. Just admit defeat. It's okay.
No, because it's okay to open that can of worms because there's a second and third sequel.
Ugh. People and their sequels. Okay, let me go to my number, one? Yeah, number one.
So we're just going to skip mine? My number two?
Yep. I'm just going to skip. Yep, I just played an Uno card. Skip. All right, go to your number two.
Okay. Good main actor. The main actor, the Seventh Heaven guy, he's very good at doing what he's doing. Because during it, he is scared of closets, and you can tell he is terrified of them. He has issues. He is not all there. You can tell. You can see and hear it in his voice, and he himself is a good actor in this movie.
He's all right. He's got eyes and a face or whatever. I don't know. You have Emily Deschanel and Lucy Lawless. I mean, they're cooler, but whatever. He's a human or whatever. He's a person. That's my counterpoint.
That he's a person, that he's a fully actualized, realized person.
The actor is Seventh Heaven guy. Sorry, Seventh Heaven guy. I don't know your name.
You're the one who bought the movie. You can't see who got top billing?
I don't have
Sam
it in
Raimi.
My heart. Oh, was it Sam Raimi? That doesn't surprise me. I did this one thing for the movie. Top billing. All right. Well, that was my counterpoint. So going to my number one. Oh boy. Okay. So creature designs are so integral. Integral. Are so integral to any kind of movie. They are the make and break of a movie. They are the foundation of what we see and what we want. And if you give us something that is amazing, we want to keep seeing it over and over and over. If you give us something like, oof, it's a disappointment. It's a big disappointment. So creature design is imperative when you are making a movie, especially when your creature is the main creature, especially when your creature is the boogeyman, this thing of legend that has been around for as long as humanity has been around. So when you have your boogeyman wearing an Argyle sweater vest,
which I have one,
it's not... What is that word? Scary. It's not powerful. It's a thing with a sweater vest. And Freddy can get away with his sweater. And Mrs. Voorhees can get away with her sweater. But when we get into Argyle's sweater vest territory, for the boogeyman, the big bad boogeyman, I say, no thank you, sir. No thank you. The end.
Yes, my counterpoint. Argyle sweater vest. They are delightful. They are the epitome of sunshine and happiness and gaiety. And the boogeyman wears one. He is not the pinnacle of super happy sunshine fun times. He is the boogeyman. And again, it's also a basic representation of that one weird figure, ceramic action figure thing that he had in his room that he shoved in a drawer. You know, like the boogeyman is in a closet. Get the symbolism. Hidden away.
I get it. I don't like it though.
Shut up. Anywho, Boxy's crying inside. It's okay. Franny is broken. And yeah. What was my counter argument?
I think you've just proven it. I think you just proven that I won that one.
Oh, it's the opposite of sunshine and daisies.
It's the opposite of sunshine, and it's a happy and gay apparel.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
The guy has no, like, skin cream, though. That's, like...
Yeah. A sweater vest, an Argyle sweater vest. I mean, like, I didn't get, like, and I, but in their
well, if you look at it from your gay allegory thing, he has an Argyle sweater vest, yes, but he also has one of those jackets that are like, because I like see like all sorts of like construction guys and stuff kind of wear it, where it's kind of warm when you're out in the early mornings or out on a river
on a jog.
Fishing or something. Oh yeah, out on a jog.
out on his morning jog. The boogeyman put this on and it might be a little nippy outside.
But it's what I'm saying is he has two different articles of clothing. One that jacket thing that's in the baseball bat at the beginning that like stands up and it falls over,
robe.
And the other ones,
it's a robe.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's a jacket. It's like a that I'm thinking of
the
and
boogeyman.
Not, we'll rewrite it to be a jacket. It's
human
fine.
Weird clothing.
I'm just saying that the designs are feminine versus masculine, and he's wearing them both, and it's a representation of his inner turmoil.
How is Argyle's sweater vest feminine? It's just an it's, if anything, it's like an academic, like, I can imagine like my professor wearing something like that.
I have an argyle sweater vest. Are you saying I'm not feminine?
Yep.
Ow! Oh! 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 Oh, backfired. Oh.
Hashtag not a feminist. I'm so sorry. Not to you. Not to you. Our listeners. I'm so sorry.
Are you sorry to the academics?
Yes,
that you just
am.
Compared me
to? I am. I am. I'm so sorry. And again, our thoughts are our thoughts and our own and not anybody else's. All right. Do you want to get to your number one? I am curious about this one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And this one was my most excited point of view, which is why I put it at number one. And I'm glad you did not question it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Magic bath water.
I'm questioning it now.
So, yes, magic bath water. When we see girlfriend disappear, it's when she's in the tub and she just disappeared in the tub. I don't know why, but she did. And the water gets all murky and brown and gross. And then all of a sudden she's like flying up in the air with magical water holding her. And then it flies to the closet. Do you remember that scene?
I do. I don't know why that's a pro.
Because you're apparently a joyless, horrible person.
That's also very true.
Yes, that is a pro, because it brought light into my desiccated shell of a heart. And also, I would like to believe that that was secretly Bitch Boy. I'm just going to keep on bringing him back in, even though there was no cats in
this. There is no cats in this whatsoever.
But.
Whatsoever.
But Toshio drowned. That's how he died. He was drowned in water. And that's why the bathtub and the movies are haunted and evil. And I like to think that he's still stuck in the movie verses. And, you know.
Are you just gonna do going to do like the 6 degrees of like Toshio in every movie we do?
Yes.
I think you like that movie more than you think you do.
I don't like that movie. I just like The Grudge. I don't like that movie. I just like The Grudge in general. I was going to actually make a Quantum Leap joke, but I think somebody earlier made a joke on Quantum Leap and I didn't want it to be weird.
Go ahead and make your Quantum Leap joke.
Yes, Toshio is now stuck in movies, moving from character to character, trying to find his way home. So,
I wouldn't watch that, but I would watch for the music in the beginning. I would watch for like the montages of like him trying to be like an adult female or an adult boxer or whatever he's in.
He was a cat in one and he was magic bathwater in another.
Yeah.
And you know what? Who knows what he's going to be in the next movie?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? I sure don't. Okay, so my counterpoint is no, that what? No, that's my counterpoint. I was like, where the hell is she going with this? I don't understand. But that's the thing. There's magic in this movie. There's teleportation. There's time travel.
Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly.
There's ghosts. There's ghost BFFs.
And it's epic.
Oh my gosh. There's just so much in this movie. And Seventh Heaven guy.
And the better Deschanel. And Lawless.
Yes. And.
And Bitch Girlfriend.
And that's why it's a terrible movie. And you should never watch it nor buy it on Amazon.
For how much?
I think it was like $12.
Wow. What a steal.
What a terrible deal. Do you got anything in the works that you would like to plug? We are writers at Haunted MTL.
I'll probably just plug the Bloody Marys, which is me, myself, and I. It's only me. There's no Parzival. There's no Nicole CL. There's no Kristen Cleaves. There's no...
This is in that group.
Sometimes you.
No, I thought there was somebody else. I thought there was one more person.
Was Rachel Ross in that group? I don't think so.
Was Court Card ever in that group?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
She tried and she tried and she finally did it.
Okay. Good job, Court Court. Might be maybe other people in the future.
Yeah.
I feel like there might be one more or something. I don't know. In the back of my mind, there's a lot of female writers in our collective hive. And
it's true.
So I always forget who we have and who we don't. Y'all look the same to me.
That's very true. Dinosaurs have horrible eyesight.
Yeah, and memories too. So I have a lot of like face blindness to humans. Anyway, I'm going to be in a haunted house tonight, you guys. And by being in a haunted house, I mean not being in a haunted house because we're in freaking quarantine, okay? We're in lockdown. Well, we're not in quarantine. I shouldn't say that. We're in fucking lockdown. But it's a virtual haunted house. Oh, it's where the Conjuring ghosts happened. So Satan babies and whatnot. So I'm going to be doing that tonight. I'm going to be staying up and watching nothing happen. Woo. Or maybe ghost noises that are actually just house noises. But anyway, I'm going to be writing about that. So check that out. I have no idea what it's going to be called. I don't know, but I'm going to make a fort and we're going to have wine and it's going to be fun. I might bring the cat in for it. And my spouse is going to, again, look at me wistfully and sadly and wonder what they did with their lives.
Yeah.
Anywho, you got anything else?
That's the only thing I'm plugging for now, just because I have nothing else in my life.
Okay. Ditto. I don't know what the next movie is because I haven't picked it out yet. I am bad at that. So just stay tuned for next week when I am crowned champion yet again and all is right with the world and we will discuss whatever I pick. You want to say goodbye?
Bye guys. Next time I see you, I will obviously still be queen because booyah.
Not fucking
and box is stupid.
Brilliant. All right. We will see you later. Take care, everybody. Stay safe. Wear your goddamn masks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Social distance, man. Come on. Just a little.
Do it for your grandmas.
Yeah.
And if you don't like your grandmas, do it for your grandpas.
Do it for the cats, because they can get it.
Yeah. Fucking tigers, man.
Yeah.